It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday. It's April 30th. It is 2024. We have a nice 12-game MLB slate to talk about here on today's slate. It's an interesting one. I can't wait to break this one down. I think it's really interesting. Joined today by my good buddy and my Tuesday co-host, it seems like every week. I make the schedule, so it's probably every week. Keith Eisner, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much. Got a nice little sweat going here on Monday night. Got a team up at 11th now in the $4 that still has Max Fried pitching. It was a nice little Blue Jays stack with Severino as well. Love Severino today. Watered down Cubs lineup. Awesome ballpark to pitch in. So he took a no-hitter into, I think, the seventh inning against the weekend lineup. And the Blue Jays did their thing. I don't have Turner on this stack. I had another stack that had Turner with it. But I had Joe Ryan on that team. Hopefully Fried keeps rolling. He's also got a no-hitter going last I checked. So if he can keep it rolling, maybe we can get to the top of this thing. I've got a couple of one-offs left too.
Yeah, I have some really good Severino teams going. He ended up being like my highest owned pitcher just in general. Like I saw the lineup and switched a couple of like my tie-on teams to Severino. And I played a lot of tie-on too. And like Tyon actually didn't pitch bad. He just didn't strike anybody out. He pitched he threw seven innings, right? And they were good innings. He just didn't generate any strikeouts. But yeah, I have a lot of Severino going. Some of my best FanDuel teams today. I have a really good Dodgers or Arizona Philly stack in the $50 on FanDuel. And I'm just like, all right, need you guys to wake up, hit the ball. And then I was telling Keith, I got done building some teams, and I was like, you know, I wrote down on my notes that I really want a Cincinnati stack. So I made a Cincinnati stack. I threw it in like the $5 single entry, and it's my best team. And it's so funny how that works sometimes. But, I mean, I wouldn't be mad taking it down. I'm fifth in that tournament right now, and I have like 16 more innings than anybody in front of me with a full Cincinnati stack. And it has Adele on it, who I talked about on the podcast last night as like one of the best one-off power home runs on the slate. And he hit a home run his first at bat, but full Cincinnati stack. So we'll see how it ends up. And I wouldn't mind taking it down $5 into a grand. I won't complain. I'm not going to complain. Whenever you make profit on any tournament, you shouldn't complain. Do you wish it was in like the 121? Yeah, of course, but it's not always going to work that way. Hope everyone is having a fantastic Monday night. Appreciate everyone hanging out with us. What's up, everyone? There's a lot of names. I'm not even going to try, but what's up, YouTube? I appreciate you all with the nice comments on the podcast from yesterday on YouTube. I know you guys are really loving the Plate IQ breakdown. I had a lot of people reach out to me today about, you know, if they even have premium and they're learning stuff that I'm doing with the Plate IQ breakdown. I love Plate IQ. And like, again, this isn't an ad. I think it's the best tool in the industry for baseball. I love Baseball Savant and it's free and it's a great tool. It just, you can do so much on Plate IQ so fast. So again, I appreciate everyone and hopefully you're getting do it. Yeah, I looked last night at Brewers hats, no joke. I found a really awesome minor league baseball Brewers hat that I'll probably order. I didn't want to get up and get my wallet less than, I'm not gonna lie, that's exactly why I didn't do it. So
is it a Biloxi Shuckers? I believe they're a minor league.
I honestly do not remember the name. It just looked cool, and you know how I am, Keith. You know, my minor league baseball hats, yeah, I mean, if it looks cool,
it's
I'm
an
in
elite collection for sure.
Yeah, I love it, man. Absolutely love it. Let's talk some baseball. We got 12 games. We have this slate is so interesting. I was looking at this slate and I was breaking it down and I was like, man, there are some high price options that I might actually stack against. There's some high options that might be really chalky. And there's some guys in this like mid tier that have some upside. So I think I teased it enough. We start with our favorite guy, Kansas City at Toronto, 7.5 total in this game. Our boy Cole Reagans going up against Jose Berrios. Reagans has been boom bust, just faced his team last time out. 76 pitches in that one. He's struggling a little bit here recently. That game got rain shortened, and I don't even know if he gives up a run in that game if it wasn't wet. Like, he just in the fifth inning, it was a torrential downpour. It was just a torrential downpour, and they tried everything they could to get the fifth inning and to make it an official game because both teams were traveling. So, I mean, just – I think Cole Reagans is too cheap just in tournaments here. Like, 7,800 for a guy that has the strikeout ability as Cole Reagans. Like, I don't care about the matchup in that price point. I'm just going to play some. I hate the matchup. But if we dig into it a little bit more, Toronto hasn't actually been that great against left-handed pitching. So maybe it is a good spot. I ended up playing a little Cole Reagans last time out. When I did crunch time with Roth, and he's like, you probably get a half a game. And like, my thought process was, all right, if he can go out and he can,
game.
Yeah, you get a complete game. You get that, what was it, 1.5 points or 2 points or whatever it is?
Yep. He did get that. But he did not get the shutout. So the complete game shutout was definitely in play too.
It was. He just couldn't grip the baseball. What are your thoughts here on our boy Cole Reagan?
Yeah, this is a start that I really, really wanted to be on Reagan's. I hate that it's a back to back against Toronto. But the matchup against Toronto, like you said, is not all that scary. First of all, they have a ton of right-handed hitters, and Cole Reagans is a reverse splits lefty. The Toronto does not strike out much, but as far as the amount of right-handers in the lineup, this is a good spot for strikeouts for Reagans. If they post the 5.5 strikeout line again, I'm going to be on that again. I wrote him up in that rain game, and I watched that game intently like you because I was hoping that he could get through the five innings and we could get the short start. About the third inning, the mound got really slippery, and he lost his control completely. He dominated through the first three innings. He struck out four in three innings, and then he didn't have any footing in the fourth, and then the rain just came down torrentially, like you said, in the fifth, and he could not grip the baseball at all. It was just a horrible struggle. The start before that was the Baltimore start, where 9 out of 10 balls that got put in play fell in for a hit. That's just not going to happen to him every start. So I have no concerns whatsoever about Cole Reagans going forward. I still believe he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I think it's a knock to the strikeouts in the start because it's Toronto back-to-back, but it's a sneaky good matchup, like you said, and like I wrote up on Scores and Odds for a strikeout prop in his last start. So he's way too cheap. I'm completely right there with you. I'm going to have some Cole Reagans even on a huge slate.
Do we discount the back-to-back because nobody could really see the ball anyway? And like, he was just, was he just throwing fastballs? Like, I don't know. Like, that to me, yeah, it's a back to back, but that game is just such an odd, like, the first two or three innings was fine. And then it just started raining and it would rain really hard for Reagans. And then it would stop a little bit. Then it would rain really hard. And like, he's just too cheap, right? At the end of the day, Cole Reagans is somebody that can strike 8+ batters out on any given slate, and he's 7,800. So I think it just comes down to he's too cheap. People are going to not pay attention to the fact that there was a rain-shortened game. They're going to be like, oh, he got yanked early in Baltimore after he got shelled. He got yanked in Toronto after five, and they're not going to understand. So let's play some Cole Reagans. Berrios on the other side here. This is kind of the opposite, right? Like, Berrios is 8,900. Like, he's priced up more than I can stomach here. I think Berrios is off to a really strong start this season. He's throwing a lot of strikes. He's struggled a little bit here recently with walks, but it's a back-to-back scenario for him, too. He kind of had that same scenario. It was raining. It was ugly. He couldn't grip the baseball either. I just don't know if I want to pay 8,900 for Jose Berrios, and I've played him plenty this year. He's getting into that price point where you really got to think about it.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit too expensive for this matchup. Berrios is not a guy that I generally like to play anyway. He never gets there for me from a strikeout perspective. I know he works pretty deep into the game. He's got a nice leash. I think this Kansas City offense is sneaky good. They started off the season really hot. They've come back to earth a little bit here, but I think they're going to land right around league average, which is, I think, higher than expectation for them. And Berrios' strikeouts are down. I'm not factoring in that last start, like you said. It was terrible for conditions for him as well. But 19.4% strikeout rate on the season is just not good enough against a competent offense like the Royals. I think he's overpriced here.
Now, if we open up like lineup HQ tomorrow and Berrios is sitting under 10%, okay, I'm in. Because I like where Berrios is at this year. I don't think that's going to be the case. Too many people stack against Kansas City, play pitchers against Kansas City for too long for Berrios to go overlooked here with the start to the season that he's had. As far as the Kansas City bats, just because I don't necessarily love Berrios because of his price doesn't mean I'm going to run to stack against him here. And I love stacking Kansas City. They have home run power. They can steal. I just don't think this is a spot I'm going to play a lot of Kansas City, if not, like, if any. Like, you can always make a case for, like, Bobby Witt. You can always make a case for, like, Pasquantino. Garcia continues to be cheap on FanDuel, but I think I'm out on a full stack here. And I probably honestly won't get to much like one-offs in this spot either.
Yeah, I don't love the spot for the KC bats. Berrios has been outstanding from a run prevention perspective. And he's just an above-average pitcher in general. I don't see any reason to try to attack him here on a 12-game slate. If I'm doing it, I prefer left-handed power. So Pasquantino is the one that kind of jumps out. Velasquez is cheap for his power. Same for Renfro. But Michael Massey, at filling a second base position at just 2,900. I know he's been awful to start the season, but he's a well-regarded young guy. I think there's some power coming in his game. I played quite a bit of him on Monday night. He didn't do terribly, so I'll go back to him as a one-off just because he fills second base very cheap and with a little bit of pop.
I've gotten to the point where, like, second and catcher is just great positions to save some money. It seems like almost every slate. It's because we're paying up so much at shortstop. Shortstop is just absolutely loaded, man. It's crazy. Any interest here in the Toronto bats?
No, I'm not picking on Cole Reagan. Strikeout stuff is too good.
Yeah, you mentioned the reverse splits. He has a really good changeup. He uses it a lot. It works really well. I will say Justin Turner is scorching. If you want to play some Justin Turner, I don't hate it. If you want to play some Danny Jansen, I don't hate it. Moving on, San Francisco at Boston. We got Logan Webb against Cooper Criswell, 8.5 total in this game. San Francisco, a 130 favorite in this one. Logan Webb, we're now looking at like four straight games with like 7+ innings. He's looked really good in back-to-back starts, and one of those was against Arizona. This game's on the road. It's in Fenway. He's 8,300, though. Like, Boston is not a team to really be scared of. Like, are we playing some ground ball Webb here?
I think we are. 8,300 is a little bit tough, but it's not outrageous by any means. If the game was in San Francisco, I would definitely want some Webb. Going into Fenway Park is a massive ballpark downgrade for him, so I do have a little bit of concern there. But the ground balls should keep him out of trouble. He's not a huge strikeout guy, but his upside comes from that length that he gives you. Two starts over 100 pitches. He's been over seven innings, or at least seven innings, like you said, in four straight. So, like, he's putting up upper 20s in DK points just based on that length and the fact that he's not getting beat up at all. I like the matchup against the Red Sox. It's a good strikeout matchup. It's the ballpark that's the only concern here. But I think he's worth a couple of shots here at 8,300, especially if he comes in low own. If we open up lineup HQ and he's showing low ownership, I'll be over the field on him.
We also have to, like, remember, ballpark matters all the time, but it doesn't matter as much when you get a guy like Webb, who's just a massive ground ball guy. Like, he's going to generate a ton of ground balls. The other side of this game, any interest here in Cooper Criswell?
I don't think so. He's cheap, 6,600, but the pitch count isn't quite there yet. He's not fully stretched out. Started in the bullpen, I believe, for the Red Sox this year.
Yep.
Before recently moving to the rotation. So 72 pitches in his last one. Maybe you can get 80, 85 pitches in this spot. I'm not scared of San Francisco, but I just, on a big slate, I don't know that it's worth a shot on Criswell here.
I mean, I know he pitched really well against Cleveland last time out. I just don't see it, dude. Fly ball guy, Fastball sits around 89.5 miles an hour. Doesn't generate really any like speed on his fastball. You look at his two main pitchers, are, I guess it's like a fastball sinker, but we'll call it a fastball. It's like a fastball sinker. It's not good either way. And you look at like he throws that in a sweeper a lot, and he tries to mix in a changeup. The changeup is actually a really decent pitch, but overall his sweeper and fastball sinker are not good. Like you look at some of the X stuff on his pitches, and I feel like this is just one of those cases where Boston had a few injuries and now they're kind of grasping for straws. I have a lot of interest in the Giants bats. We talk about playing the Giants bats on the road all the time, and I think this is one of those spots where they're priced down because they play in a terrible ballpark and they don't hit a whole lot of home runs because they play in that ballpark. But I think I want to play some Giants. Now the question is, like, do I think the Giants have a ceiling to full man stack win me a tournament? I'm on the fence on that aspect, but I do think, like, if there was ever a spot, like, this guy can't attack this lineup. He doesn't have the stuff to attack this lineup. So I think I'm in on the Giants today.
Yeah, I'm in as well. Just a huge ballpark upgrade for them. Their right-handed power in particular in the spot. Guys like Jorge Soler, like the difference for a guy like that in Fenway compared to out in San Francisco is massive. Chapman as well. And because they play in such a tough park, their prices are very fair, like you mentioned. $4,600 for Soler. He should be like $5,200, $5,300 in this spot. Chapman should be up around $5,000 as well. Those are definitely my two favorites. If Flores is in there, I certainly don't mind him. And I'm kind of with you. I think it's a home run spot more than it is a stack spot, but I don't mind a couple of full Giant stacks. Certainly three power bats and mini stacking them is something I'll do quite a bit.
Well, like Soler, he's the perfect example, and I think you gave out a perfect example there. He has 1,000 OPS on the road and 500 at home. Like, the dude is going to be a guy that we target on the road all season. And like in spots, I'll target him at home too, because I mean, he just has massive power. But Soler's 4,600. Conforto, he had that like really hot start. Chapman is a good hitter that has some power. Like, again, I mean, Jung Ho Lee is a guy that has pop, can steal some bases. I like San Francisco in this spot. I think this is a really good spot for them. Think I end up more like three mans or four man stacks. I don't know how many like main five mans I get them, probably none. But I do want to play some Giants today. And then Boston, Webb generates too many ground balls for me, like just in general. He's allowed one home run through six starts this season. He's not a guy that's going to go out and give up two or three home runs. It's a massive 12 game slate. I have to get home runs in my stack. I think I'm just out here on Logan Webb and or out on playing against Logan Webb.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The only two I would have interest in would be Tyler O'Neill and Rafael Devers, and they're both over $5,000. I don't love spending up for one-offs, especially when there's such a big slate. So I think I'm out on Boston also.
Yeah, Devers, he just tends to hit the ball on the ground a lot. You really like, I love playing Devers against fly ball pitchers, and that's just the exact opposite. Ground ball pitcher against a ground ball hitter, gonna generate ground balls.
Yeah.
Cubs and Mets. 8 total in this game. Mets a 130 favorite. Javier Assad, Sean Manaea. Any interest here in Assad?
Dude, is Javier Assad good? Like, he's been incredible. And this is not just this season. Like, dating back to the middle of last year, he started stringing together some really good starts. I think he's overpriced in this matchup for the Mets, but he's somebody I've got my eye on. As a Cubs fan, he is outperforming my expectations. That's for sure. The strikeout rate is up above average this season. I don't think this is a spot for strikeouts for him. The Mets lineup just doesn't strike out. We just saw Taillon, and it took him working deep into this. He worked 7 1/3. I don't think Assad is going that deep in the game, and therefore his upside is limited in this spot. But Assad might be good, but this is not the spot for him.
Derek, it's bases loaded for Teoscar Hernandez, not Kiki Hernandez. Hopefully he gets it going here. Let's get that squad ride. I think it was over 5.5 for the first five innings for the squad. Yeah. So as far as Assad goes, small slates, I don't mind playing him. I just don't know if this is the spot I want to play him, because I feel like his ceiling is probably like 25 points, and that's like a really good day for him. I think more than likely Assad ends up like in the 15 to 20 range in this spot, maybe even lower. like you said, no strikeouts. Tyon pitched great and didn't get over 15. I just worry about that for Assad. So, I think the difference was, like, Tyon was cheaper, too. Like, $8,400 for Assad. Give me Logan Webb at, like, basically the same price. Yeah. Cole Reagans has more strikeout upside. So, I just don't know if I get to Javier Assad today. I do, however, like Sean Manaea in this spot. The Cubs are just banged up right now. They're dealing with some injuries. We talked about it yesterday on the podcast. Sean Manaea is someone that has strikeout ability, and there's plenty of strikeouts in this lineup. They're not going to be able to get all these lefties out of the lineup either with some of the injuries. So I kind of like Sean Manaea. I feel like this is a really good get-right spot for him. He's had some tough matchups here. I could see Sean Manaea having a good start.
Yeah, I could definitely see it as well. It's a great ballpark to pitch in. The Cubs are down their two best hitters in Bellinger and with Suzuki on the IL. It's we love the ballpark here, obviously. So I think there's upside here. I will say I think the Cubs have a stronger lineup against lefties than they do against righties. Like, that's part of the reason that I was so in on Severino on Monday night. They're going to platoon some guys. They're going to get Wisdom in there for sure. Morel's great against lefties. Horner's has much more power against lefties. Hap's the guy that takes a big hit, flipping to the other side of the plate. But I do think there's still upside here. Tauchman is not as good lefty-lefty. Maybe we see a guy like Canario in there. Madrigal could crack the lineup as well. Like, they have the bats to do the platoon thing. Like, there will be one or two lefties in there. Like, Tauchman and Bush are probably the two guys who stay in this lineup, which certainly helps Manaea. But a weakened Cubs lineup, I definitely think Manaea is in play.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what the lineup looks like, but this is also in Citi Field too. Like, yeah, you know, it's that spot that, I mean, and like Sean Manaea is healthy. The walks are the biggest concern. And I mean, you look at some of the Cubs bats, they don't really walk either. So, I mean, I think Manaea is a really solid tournament option where, like, I feel like the upside for Assad's kind of capped. I think Manaea is someone that can go like 25 plus and like have a really strong game and, you know, be lower owned too, because he's Sean Manaea and we really haven't played him much lately because he pitched out of the bullpen so much last year. Bats, Cubs, there's a couple names that you mentioned that I definitely like targeting against left-handed pitching. What are your thoughts here on the Cubbies?
Yeah, they're cheap, and that's the biggest thing. Like, I hate the ballpark, but Manaea gives up plenty of power, and he struggles with walks at times a lot. So I think you can stack the Cubs here. I don't love the ballpark. If this was Wrigley with some wind blowing out, the Cubs would be one of my top offenses on the slate. But not the case here in Citi Field, but they are cheap. Horner's at 4,200, going to lead off. Morel's at 4,200, big power. Wisdom at 3,600, I believe he was. Yeah, 30. Love that price for Patrick Wisdom. Whoever's catching, I have interest there. So you can pick out power bats or you can full stack the Cubs because of Manaea's control issues. So I have interest because of the pricing here.
Yeah. Wisdom, I think, is one of your best, like, home run or nothing kind of plays on the slate, like under 4K. We know Patrick Love Wisdom that. Has big power. Yep. Morel, those are probably my two favorite plays to attack here is Morel and Wisdom. I mean, these guys hit left-handed pitching really well. Patrick Wisdom, 286 ISO with a 37% K rate. So you know exactly what you're getting out of him. You're getting hard swings, and if he makes contact, he's going to hit the ball hard. So I love those types of plays, right? Like, I'm chasing home runs. It's a 12 game slate. So I don't want to full stack the Cubs, but getting some exposure to these home run power upside guys, I think, is fine. And the Mets, again, this game's still in Citi Field. Assad hasn't been awful. It's the same guys that I mentioned yesterday, like Brandon Nimmo, Pete Alonso, maybe JD Martinez, but I'm not going to go out of my way here. I think Brandon Nimmo actually hit a home run on Monday night.
He did.
After I said he didn't really have a ton of home run upside, but I still liked him. So love that. Announcer jinx. What are your thoughts on the Mets bats?
Yeah, Nimmo is the name I wanted to highlight as well. Probably leads off again, 4,300. I really like that price. JD Martinez theoretically still has plenty of power in that bat. He's only 4,400, so I don't even hate that. Assad's splits aren't anything that scares me. He can give up some power to both sides, so I'd probably stick in the mid-range there. Of course, Pete Alonso's an outstanding option, but I think I'd go Nimmo and Martinez first over him.
All right, we got Minnesota at Chicago taking the White Sox. 9 total. Minnesota, a 165 favorite. Simone Woods Richardson against my boy, my favorite pitcher in baseball, Sorka. Any interest here in Woods Richardson, who was 4K last time, got the call up midday type of thing, 4K last time. Huge difference, Keith.
Yeah.
I just want to like point that out, first of all. 4K to 7K is a huge difference. Any interest here in him?
Yeah, big price bump, but I still think he's decent in this spot. I don't love it. It's another one of these back-to-back starts, and I think just upside is so limited in this spot. Almost every start you see a pitcher strikeouts go down in the second start against the same team in a back-to-back scenario. So I do worry about the upside a little bit. The 94 pitches were nice to see. So that gives him a solid enough leash to pay off this price tag. It is the White Sox, so I don't think a really solid start's out of the question here. It's a big enough slate. I'm not sure how often we'll need him, but if I land on a lineup I love that has 7K for an SP2, I don't hate it.
I'm going to say the same thing. This isn't – I mean, I played him last time out. He was 4K. Super happy with the outcome, right? He even got a little unlucky, like his BABIP, he got a little unlucky in that start, but I want to see ownership just in general. I want to see ownership. If he's going to be popular, I'm out. If he's going to be low owned, okay, I'll play a little bit. The White Sox aren't good, and I'll keep saying this, and I know Chat is having a field day with Joe Ryan. They still aren't striking out. They're not a good offense. They don't have a ton of power, but they're not striking out, and they're patient. They take a lot of pitches, and it just kind of wear down a pitcher. I think overall, it's going to be an ownership thing for me. If he's chalky, like he was super chalky last time out because he was 4K. If people bite on the 4K again, I think I'll see. And Narniak, Sorka stinks. I'm with you on taking the run line. It was a joke, like him being my favorite pitcher. He might be my favorite pitcher in baseball to stack against.
That's what I thought you were going with. That's how I thought you were going to spin it.
Yeah, I just said. Any interest here?
No chance. He's terrible.
And really quick, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because it's a big slate, but could be Travis asked me from a pitcher's perspective, can I talk about facing the same team twice? So before I restart, whether you do it the night before or you do it the day of, you go through, and like this starts happening at like college level, you go through a pregame workout and you actually like do a full scouting report on the hitters, and like you can kind of try to take advantage of some tendencies that you see. If I'm seeing that guy 2 or 3 times and then I have to see him again in 5 days, he's got an up on me now because he knows how I want to kind of attack him. I can't attack him the same way, so I'm going to eventually kind of play into his strengths because he knows I'm going to try to attack his weaknesses. He's going to be looking at, you know, me knowing that I'm going to try to attack his weaknesses, so it's actually going to lead to him getting better pitches, and it's fresh. It's fresh. Like, you know, if you pitch against the same team 4 times in a season and you spread it out over 4 or 5 months, it's not too big of a deal. If you face a team twice back-to-back weeks, it's such a tough mental thing too. And even from a pitcher's mind, because you're like, from a pitcher's perspective, you're like, all right, I just attacked this guy. He's really bad. He swings at first pitch strikes. I'm going to attack him with a first pitch strike that is aggressive with like a slider on the outside of the zone because he likes to swing. He's going to think like I'm throwing fastball. Like, it's just so tough from that aspect. And like, that's why we see guys struggle facing the same team back to back, because the scouting report becomes a lot smaller and what you can do to attack a hitter becomes a lot smaller. So anyway, hope that helps, Travis. Minnesota bats, Keith, everyone. I don't hide it. I stack against Skorica every time. I don't care. They're cheap. Load me up. He stinks. He's awful. He walks people. He gives up hard contact. He gives up home runs. he's the type of pitcher that we always are going to stack against. He's going to have a good game from time to time, but he's a guy that we always stack against.
Yeah, more walks than strikeouts this season for Soroka. That tells you all that you need to know right there. And then you add in the Twins pricing on top of that. Their most expensive hitter is Ryan Jeffers at 4,400. Julian and Buxton at right in that same range. Correa's back now. He's right there. Kirilloff, just stack them all up. They're all too cheap for this matchup. The White Sox bullpen is also terrible. So if they get to Soroka early in the game, then you have a bunch of innings of a really bad bullpen. It's a great spot for Minnesota. I would have interest if they were all like $1,000 more expensive, because Soroka is just awful. But the fact that they're down in the 4K range, and some of them even cheaper than that, like, they're one of the top offenses on the slate.
All right. White Sox. I mean, I don't necessarily love the White Sox. If we're going to get some ownership on Woods Richardson and we want to use them as like a secondary leverage stack, I don't hate it, but I'm not like actively willing to like go out and stack the White Sox here.
Yeah. I just don't think that there's enough talent here. Benintendi did have a multi-homer game here recently.
Whoa.
He's 2,900, but he's not typically a power guy. I certainly would not expect that, but he's a solid enough hitter to play at 2,900 if you need a cheap outfielder, but there's not enough here to want to stack. Sheets is probably my favorite individual bat.
Six RBIs, two home runs, his only two home runs on the season, hit both of them in Tampa or against Tampa. All right. Yeah, Sheets is always my favorite. Always in play. He's hitting the ball well. Not as much recently, but again, on the season, he's hitting the ball well. Tampa Bay at Milwaukee. No line in this game yet. It sounds like it's going to be Tyler Alexander going up against Freddy Peralta. Whenever the line does come out, it's going to be very heavily favored to Milwaukee side, for what it's worth. They're waiting to see what they can do here. But it should be Tyler Alexander pitching here. He's on 6 days. He should come out and throw 50 to 75 pitches, maybe 80 pitches, maybe a little bit more. Who knows with Tampa? He could throw 25. Any interest here in Alexander?
No interest in Alexander.
Yeah, got to ask. It's my job. Freddy Peralta, he's the top pitcher on the slate. I mean, this is not an overthink it spot. When you're looking at the guy that has the highest ceiling on the slate, I mean, he's my guy. I don't know what your thoughts are, but he clearly is my guy today. Like, as much as I like Renardo Lopez, and I think he's in a fantastic spot, and we'll talk about that when we get there, Keller against Oakland's a fantastic spot, and he's much cheaper. Like, if you're just chasing ceiling on this slate, Freddy Peralta could strike out 15 today. Tampa is just whiffing. They're just whiffing. They're striking out at a huge clip right now. I don't care what the stats say. I watch way too much Tampa. They're roughing it right now. Like, they have legitimately six guys in their lineup on a daily basis that have a strikeout rate over 25% this season. It's just a rough go right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I love Peralta in this spot. 33% strikeout rate on the season. Seems like he's really taking over that ace role that the Brewers obviously trade away Corbin Burns. They lost Woodruff to a season-long injury. So Peralta has kind of stepped up as that go-to guy in the Milwaukee rotation. He's looking like a true ace at this point. He is worth the 10K price tag in this matchup. So I'm right there with you.
Narniak says, what's the floor for Peralta's Ks? I would put it at 6.
Sounds right. I mean, that's if he walks a bunch of guys and the pitch count gets up there really high, I still think he can get one per inning and make it through 6 in that spot.
Finally, have a hit in the Braves game. 7th inning. Both pitchers had a no-no going into the 7th. Just wild. All right. No Tampa bats, right?
No, I'm not trying to pick on Peralta.
Nah. Gosh, Milwaukee. Any interest in the Milwaukee bats here?
I think Milwaukee is one of the top offenses on the slate. This is an awesome spot for them.
It's finally like a Rhys Hoskins day, man. I can't remember the last time we had like a Rhys Hoskins day.
Yeah. Not only is Tyler Alexander a low strikeout pitcher, but the Tampa Bay bullpen has actually been among the worst in baseball, which I was shocked to see. Tampa Bay usually has a really good bullpen. Has not been the case this year. William Contreras is 5,300, but I'm still paying up for him. I love this spot for William Contreras. Rhys Hoskins, like you mentioned, is way too cheap for this spot. Has crushed lefties throughout his career. Willie Adames is too cheap. Like I'm stacking this Brewers lineup, this Brewers team every which way today.
Chirillo, he should draw a good lineup spot today. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he hits leadoff in this spot, right? Like, they have all those lefties that they like type put towards the top of the lineup. I wouldn't be shocked if Chirillo hits leadoff, and he's a guy that he offers you a ton of upside because he has some pop, he can steal bases. So don't be afraid of the platoons in this one, because I really don't think Alexander is going to pitch deep into this game. So, like, if you want to get some Terang in your stacks, do that. Blake Perkins has been way better so far throughout his career from the left side of the plate than the right side of the plate. But yeah, Contreras, like, you know me, I hate paying up for catcher. The rest of the stack is really cheap though. So like, just kind of throw the catcher position out of your head when you're stacking Milwaukee as far as Contreras, and just kind of build like, hey, he's an expensive first baseman, because he has so much upside in this spot. And I mean, he's off to a scorching start this season. It's just fantastic to watch. Washington at Texas, 8.5 total. Texas, a 156 favorite. Mackenzie Gore, John Gray. Mackenzie Gore, any interest in him at 8,100 here?
He's going to be really low owned. It's obviously a terrible matchup for him. He survived a terrible matchup the last time out against the Dodgers. Not quite as much luck against Houston, which is a tough matchup in the start prior to that. I believe in the talent of Mackenzie Gore. It's just, it's hard to want to play him against this elite Texas offense. It's like large field tournaments. If I'm making 150 lineups, I probably have him in the pool just because I believe in the strikeout stuff, but it's not a good spot for him.
So Ronald Acuña was the one that got the hit against Miller to end the no hitter, stole second, stole third.
How many? He's done that a bunch in his career, like maybe as often as anybody in recent history.
And like runners and hitter, there's so much, like they've been a little bit more protected by like some of the new rules and stuff too. You can't throw over there like six times in a row anymore.
Right.
I think the positive thing for Mackenzie Gore is like that's the second time this season he's thrown over 100 pitches, and he's thrown over 90 pitches in all of his starts this year. Mackenzie Gore, when he's on, like when he's hitting his spots, the ball is rotating for him, dude has big strikeout upside. And we saw that against Oakland. Again, it's Oakland. Don't get me wrong. This is a really tough spot. He's going to have no ownership whatsoever today. And like the dude has strikeout ability. He has big strikeout stuff. His swinging strike rate's 12.5%. It was 12.2% last year. He just absolutely dominates left-handed hitters. And like, we're seeing the walks come down a lot against righties this year, which is great because that was something that we talked about a lot with him last year. I believe in Mackenzie Gore's talent. It's just, it's a tough spot. So if he's going to have no ownership today and I'm rolling out like a 20 entry or 100 entry type build, I think I'll have a little bit of Mackenzie Gore. I'm going to have a little bit of John Gray too. They left him out a little too long last time, and like they were trying to get him to that win, and he started to really struggle. I don't know if it was like the break and like how his rotation spot kind of worked out, and like however it was, it just didn't, his stuff wasn't crisp at the end of his start. Like that like when he got to like 70 pitches, he kind of started to struggle. The strikeout stuff was there early, and he really got the strikeouts against Seattle. Washington isn't this like overpowering offense. And like they've added more strikeouts to this lineup now too, which is great. I don't mind getting a little bit of John Gray here. He's 7,300.
Yeah, it's that price tag for me. 7,300 is too cheap. Like he's going to throw 90 plus pitches in this spot. He was up to 92 in that last one. And the strikeout stuff has been there for him this season. He's actually been really solid. I don't know why he had that outing out of the bullpen.
It was a bullpen. It was so it fell on like a bullpen day for him, and he had thrown a bullpen, and they came out to give him a little bit more like some game work, because like they were on a, I think it was like a 12 day stretch where they were played 12 straight days or something. So it was like a really interesting, like, yeah, really interesting spot. I read an article about it. That's the only reason I know. There was an article like coach talking to reporters or stuff, and like they said that he was good to go for like 90 plus pitches in his next start and everything. So
yeah, this is a fully stretched out starting pitcher for 7,300. Like, I don't need you to have a ton of talent. And then you add in the matchup against Washington. Like you said, they're not a huge strikeout team, but they're a higher strikeout team than they were last year. They're up to about league average this season after they had the lowest strikeout rate in baseball last year. So they have a little bit more power to deal with, but they also have more strikeouts than they did. Again, it's a fully stretched out starting pitcher at 7,300. So I'm in.
Too cheap for his strikeouts against a lineup that doesn't have a ton of power. Any interest in the Washington bats here?
I don't know that I'm stacking against Gray. You can always look for home runs against him, though. Lefty power would be what we're targeting here. The Washington just doesn't have a ton of it, and that's part of what we were talking about, why we like Gray. Winker is actually surprised this season. He looks like he's sort of back to himself. Gallo's on the IL, so we don't have to worry about his power. He would have been a guy I like to play here. I think Abrams is interesting. I don't love that he's 5,200, but he does have power and speed upside. He could certainly pay that off. He's at a loaded shortstop position, though. No stack for me. Winker as a one-off is probably my favorite player.
Jacob Young might be the best, like, non-known name out there this year. He is a guy that can steal multiple bases in the game. He's been hitting the ball really well recently. So, like, how do you steal bases? Well, you got to get on base. And he has multi-hits in three straight games. He's 3,100, and he's someone that just, like, he runs every time he gets on. Like, every time this dude gets on base, he's going to try to run a base and steal a base. So, we always talk about, like, home run upside as, like, one-off power. Stolen base and the new rules and stuff, it's changed how you approach DFS, too. Like, we are looking for guys that can steal bases that are cheap. He's 3,100. He's not going to go out and hit you a home run, but he has 10 stolen bases on the season, and he's 3,100, so... yeah, and he's been way better on the road. I hate home road slits, but yeah, he's been way better on the road. Texas bats against Gore. Any interest here in Texas?
I believe in the talent of Gore. Texas is an elite offense, but they're priced accordingly. So I don't love the stack here. Like even one-offs, I don't want to spend up for Simeon necessarily. Seager's lefty lefty. Not that you can't do that, but not one of my favorite things to do on a massive slate. Keep waiting for Langford to turn it on. I think he's going to eventually, but I don't know that I'm going to try it today on a 12-game slate. So I probably just sit this one out on Texas.
You see his first home run over the weekend?
Inside the park, wasn't it?
Inside the park home yeah. run. It was what's funny is like him and Wenzel, what is it, Wenzel or whatever? Yeah. Davis, whatever his last, Wenzel, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
He hit his home run earlier in the game, an actual home run. And I'm not saying a home inside the park home run. Like, for the official score to score to inside the park home run, I didn't even actually watch it. And I'm a huge Wyatt Langford guy. I just haven't had a chance. But it was probably like a ball hit into the corner or something, or like a diving catch missed type of thing. And he's fast. Like, he has wheels. So,
yeah.
I think if I'm playing Texas today, Keith, I think it's a stack. I think that's how I would approach them. Like, Mackenzie Gore does tend to give up fly balls. So I think if I'm playing them and I'm like playing these expensive bats, I'm going to stack them. It's just more of like, it's just tough to pay these prices for them in against a good pitcher. Like, Mackenzie Gore is not a slouch. So I think like you're just kind of targeting the upside of the offense more than anything else here, and just saying, hey, you know, this is going to be one of those spots where Texas gets to Gore. Gore's not on, and their ceiling, because of how good the team is, pays off. All right, moving on. Cleveland at Houston, 9.5 total. Houston a 148 favorite. Carlos Carrasco going up against Hunter Brown. Carlos Carrasco, not very good, Carlos Carrasco. Not 5 years ago, Carlos Carrasco. Houston's been awful. Any interest here in Carlos Carrasco?
No, I can't do it. Houston, I know they've been slumping hard, but they still don't strike out. I just, there's no way I'm playing Carrasco against them.
Zero chance. hopefully, like, the Mexico City, like, series got them going a little bit. Watching the ball fly over the fence for, like, you know, Tucker and these guys, like, hopefully they just kind of got them going a little bit. And, like, I know, like, it's a huge difference, but, like, they had some runs. They hit the ball hard. It was good to see. Any interest here in Hunter Brown?
can't do it. I'm willing to take shots on Hunter Brown at this price tag. I don't care how bad he's struggling, but not in this matchup against Cleveland. They're just too high of a contact team. I don't think he has the strikeout upside. You add into that his really poor form here to begin the season. And I think I leave him on the shelf today. I don't mind jumping on him in the right spot at this price tag, but not today.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be times we play him this year. I just don't think this is one of them. Cleveland's a low strikeout team, and like Hunter Brown really just hasn't had like a start where he's clicked and everything's worked for him yet. Any interest in the Cleveland bats in this one?
Because of their high contact, low power nature, they're not a team I like to stack ever.
Their pricing is
still
too.
They're still way too expensive. What's up with this? Like, if they were tempting us with the prices, maybe I'd have interest just because Brown hasn't been right this season, but not at these prices. No.
If you got on my Griffin Canning under a strikeout prop yesterday, you're welcome.
He had one.
What, like, I saw the line at 5.5 and like it was at even money, and I was like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, thanks for the free one. And those don't always work out, but like, I don't know. Canning hasn't been right at all. I'm worried about the pricing on Cleveland. I don't think this is a bad spot for them. They're going to have low ownership. If anything, maybe like a Bo Naylor at catcher who has some pop at 3,600, but I typically like to go down even further than that at catcher. I'm stacking Houston today. And like, it feels so dirty and like, it's so hard to stack them this year. How do you not stack Houston against Carlos Carrasco? Like, that's what I had to ask myself. Like, when I was breaking the slate down and looking at like some stuff before we got started, I was like, how do you not click Houston stacks against Carlos Carrasco? Like, he's just not good anymore. It's hard. He gave up some bombs to Boston last time out too. Like, I'm out on Carrasco. I'm stacking Houston.
Yeah, I like the Houston stack a good amount. Tucker and Alvarez are two of the top hitters on the slate. Altuve is certainly fantastic. I generally leave Bregman out of my stacks. He just doesn't have the power that does it for me. I'd rather go down to a guy like Pena or even fill a catcher spot with Diaz. But Tucker and Alvarez are the top two targets here. Altuve is right there with them.
Yeah, I mean, Bregman never had like a ton of power, ever. He just stole bases. We've talked about this so much on the podcast this year. It's probably like a broken record at this point, but like, he's not running anymore. He doesn't give you the upside you need anymore. The power is just gone. It's like one stolen base on the year. I love leaving him off my Houston stacks.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Philadelphia at LA. Need Philly to get going right now, this inning. We need to score like a sixth spot here, Philly. Let's do it. Turnbull against Anderson, and Philadelphia is a 130 favorite in this 9 total. Any interest here in Spencer Turnbull?
I don't know what's up with the price tag. I like Spencer Turnbull. I think he's taken a step forward, but he's 9,100. It's a good matchup against the Angels. I'm certainly not afraid of them. And I think that Turnbull has some strikeout upside here. I don't know if he has a strikeout upside to pay off 9,100, though, is the problem. Like, he has 5, 6, 7 strikeout upside, maybe, not 8 or 9, which is kind of what you need for 9K. He's probably going to be pretty low owned, and it's an intriguing matchup. So maybe if he's like 5%, I throw him in 2 out of 20 or something, but I'm struggling with that price tag big time.
You know what's happening, right?
What's that?
I don't know. He changed his curveball, and he's dominating lefties with curveballs. Like, I looked into this and I was like, what is going on with Spencer Turnbull? Like, it was just throwing me off. And I think there was like 2 starts ago I looked into this. It's wild, dude. He has a 64% whiff rate on his curveball against lefties this year. It was 15% last year. It was 15% last year. Like, something has just completely changed with him on his curveball. It's going back to what we saw, like, Spencer Turnbull 2020, 2021. Like, that's how he got lefties out back when he was pitching decently. Like, something's changed. I haven't like read it. I haven't found like articles or anything, but like, he's just dominating lefties. It's just wild to see. And like, he still like has that sweeper, which he added in the offseason against righties, and it's generating 39% whiffs against righties. So like, he has two really quality like strike pitches now against both lefties and righties, and his fastball has been really good. So I think Spencer Turnbull is a 9K pitcher. I really do. Like, the stats back it up. You look at some of the advanced stats and you're like, okay, maybe this is real. Like, you look at some break stuff and you're like, all right, like he's generating the spin. He has the strikeout stuff. His X stats are fantastic. Like, I hate that I'm like sitting here making a case for Spencer Turnbull at 9K, but I mean, there's no reason not to. Like, his fastball spin is the highest it's been in his career. Like, it's just wild. So something has changed for him because he's not throwing harder. Like, his velocity is not up. He's not throwing harder. So it's just, he's spinning the ball more, and it's working. So I think this is a spot you play some Spencer Turnbull. I hope the price scares people off. I think Turnbull is very much in play here today.
I love it. I'm sold because I have noticed the change in the pitches as well. And he's a guy that I wrote him up, his strikeout prop up. It was a couple, three starts ago or something. And he didn't get there that day, but there's definitely something going on here that, where this is not the same Spencer Turnbull that we're used to. That was a below average strikeout pitcher. So I'm with you here. There's more upside within him than there has been in recent seasons.
Maybe you just need to get out of Detroit. Maybe that's the problem, right? You're just like, I don't want to pitch in Detroit.
One of the things I noticed when I dug in is, I believe it's Baseball Savant classifies his fastball as a four-seamer, and Fangraphs classifies it as a cutter as his main fastball. So there's something going on weird with his fastball as well. It definitely has cutting action to it. Whether it's a true cutter or not is debatable, depending on which source you're looking at for pitch data.
You know how they do their run value on like the breaking balls and stuff?
Yep.
He has the best. He's like one of the best breaking run values on the season. It's just wild. Nice. Like his stuff, his sweeper is so good against righties and his curveball is so good against lefties. He's like, hey, I'm finally out of Detroit. I'm going to pitch again.
And to be fair, he dealt with plenty of injuries too. So maybe he's just healthy for the first time in four or five years.
Just healthy, but
yeah,
you love to see it. Like his stuff's real. Like I looked into a lot of this stuff and I'm like, all right, it's real. Cause like, the first time you look into like a K rate and it's like 28% and you're like 10% swinging strikes, you're like, all right, it's probably going to be a little like misleading. And then you like dig into some of the advanced stuff and you're like, holy crap, Spencer Turnbull's good. Oh, always fun. Anyway, there you go. My dog today, Spencer Turnbull. Tyler Anderson's on the other side of this game.
He's not.
His spin, yeah, I was gonna say his spin rate's not up, and he's not striking out guys at a high clip. Any interest in him in this spot?
No, I played a ton of Philly on Monday night. I'll be going right back to him Tuesday night.
Yeah, they need to get going. We need like a Harper bomb. Just like get that team over the hump here. Yeah, I mean, I like Philly a lot. I'm with you. I think that they're expensive. Their ownership, even on a smaller slate, was really low because of how expensive they are. But yeah, it's hard not to like them in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, Anderson's a below average strikeout pitcher. Philly's loaded with power. The Angels park is sneaky decent for a hitter's park. It's obviously a downgrade from Philly's home park, but still a pretty good hitter's park here. Brandon Marsh has been really good. Like, obviously, Schwarber, Harper, Turner are all fantastic. Real Muto, if you want to spend up at catcher. Alec Bohm has been one of the best hitters in baseball. He has, like, a top five WRC plus and WOBA on the season. Dude has been red hot. So he's 4,800, but he's worth that right now. And Brandon Marsh has been incredible as well. He's down at 4,300. Castellanos has struggled a ton, but we're getting a discount on him as well. He'll pick it up eventually. Due to smash lefties throughout his career. Maybe it happens today. Maybe it doesn't. But I definitely will take some shots on a cheaper Castellanos too.
Schwarber loves lefty-lefty, especially when you get a low strikeout guy like Anderson. Yep. Schwarber can take him deep lefty-lefty. Bohm is one of my favorite hitters on the slate. He has absolutely crushed left-handed pitching. You know, he is a definition of a lefty masher. What up, Cardi?
He's mashing everything this year, though.
You know what's funny, right? I said Bohm was a good hitter on Crunch Time last week, and Cardi had a heart attack. And ever since Cardi had a heart attack, Bohm just has hit everything. And I'm like, hey, win for Stevie. Dodgers, Diamondbacks, 9.5, pick 'em game. We got Landon Knack against Jordan Montgomery in this one. Any interest here in Landon Knack?
No, I don't think so. Arizona's a low strikeout team. Knack did throw 94 pitches. He's a decent, not elite pitching prospect, but he's a decent pitching prospect. Just don't think it's the slate for it.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe the reverse splits yet, but he's definitely generating a lot more swinging misses against lefties, which I don't know if that benefits him in this matchup or not. It kind of depends on what the lineup looks like. I'm not playing him, but it is something to kind of watch over, like, his next, like, 4 or 5 starts. If we're, like, really going to continue to trend towards, like, a lefty splitsy guy. His pitch mix is interesting for being a lefty, and I mean, or lefty, like, splits guy. He throws a lot of fastball, slider, changeup. Changeups can be really good against lefties, but I don't know, like, he doesn't have the velo to be, like, just wild. I mean, he doesn't have the velo to be, like, this dominant fastball guy. I don't know. I don't believe it yet. He's faced Washington twice. Like, they don't have good lefties. We're going to put him to the test in this Arizona spot. That's my thoughts. Jordan Montgomery, he's come back. He's thrown really solid both starts. He's not thrown great, but he's thrown solid. I'm not paying $8,700 for Jordan Montgomery against the Dodgers. This price tag is silly. Dodgers got to the bullpen early against Tommy Henry. No chance I'm touching this spot for Montgomery. Like, even if Montgomery was $7,700, I wouldn't play him.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers will put up a couple of runs on him, and he's not a big strikeout guy, well below average. So there's just, I don't see a spot for a ceiling here. Even if he has a good outing that where he goes 7 innings, I don't think he gets there.
Dodgers bats right back to the well, right? They were, I mean, really chalky against Tommy Henry. Jordan Montgomery is a better pitcher than Tommy Henry, but Jordan Montgomery still doesn't miss bats. Like, he really hasn't shown any strikeout stuff. If you can't attack the Dodgers, they're going to hit you. I know, like, the Cardinals got to him a little bit, but if you can't attack the Dodgers, they're going to beat you up.
Yeah, I don't like them near as much as I did on Monday night, but I mean, it's the Dodgers. We can play them on any slate, but I do believe Jordan Montgomery is an above-average real-life pitcher. He's just a below-average DFS pitcher, and I really never want to play him. But I like the signing for Arizona. I think it's a nice upgrade in their rotation. Like, Teoscar Hernandez is somebody I really like. Getting up to 6,600 for bats, like, it's going to be difficult to do on this slate if I want to pay for pitching, I think. Like, the full stack is just not as intriguing to me on this this huge slate because of the pricing. But picking out a couple of bats, Teoscar, Will Smith, Pajes is really cheap. He's been on fire since being called up. Kike's been decent. He's still really cheap and can fill a second base spot. So I think I pick and choose the cheaper bats more than I do a full premium stack with Betts, Ohtani, Freeman type of thing.
Any interest in Arizona in this spot?
Yeah, I mean, Corbin Carroll has definitely had his struggles. We think we need to, and he's been hitting way down in the order too. I'd probably just leave him out, but certainly you can target some of these guys against a young pitcher without much experience. There's really solid offense. Jock Peterson is still too cheap. I love his power in the spot. Kind of the same for Suarez. Blaze Alexander let off Monday night. I don't know if he will against the righty here tonight, but if he's 3,900, I have interest in him either way. Marte is great. Walker is great. Gurriel is great. I'd probably leave one of those top three out in addition to Carroll, so I can save a little bit of money with guys like Suarez and Alexander. Moreno is fine as well, but yeah, some interest here in Arizona.
You know, Corbin Carroll is eventually going to get it going, but it's really hard to click his name right now. He's hitting the ball on the ground a ton. He's striking out a lot. He's not barreling the baseball at all. It's really hard to play him right now.
They need to put him on the IL. Just let him rest for a couple of days and then reset and come back. Like, he was dealing with that shoulder injury in the spring. He's obviously trying to play through it right now. And it's been a month now, and he's just been awful. Like, the power is just completely gone. They need to sit him down for a little bit, I think.
Yeah, what, one for his last 25 or something like that coming into Monday night's game?
It's ugly.
Pittsburgh at Oakland, 8 total in this game. Pittsburgh, a 142 favorite. Mitch Keller, Alex Wood. Kind of assume Mitch Keller is going to be like your chalky pitcher, like SP2 on this slate. I don't know how I feel about it. Mitch Keller has struggled to start the season. Any interest here in Keller?
I think he's going to be popular too, and I'm going to be under the field if that's the case. It's obviously a great matchup, a great ballpark. Everything is aligned here for Mitch Keller, but he's not been good this year. ERA is up over 5. The strikeout rate is way down to like 21%. Like the velocity is down to like 93.5 his last couple of starts. It's like you were on this in spring training. You called these struggles coming into his first start of the year. I remember doing the podcast with you. And you're like, Keller is not right. I'm going to pick on him. And he hasn't been right all season long. So I think we're going to see big ownership on him, and I'm going to be under the field.
Yeah, like I can't do it. And like I love playing pitchers against this team. He's going to generate some strikeouts here for sure. But I just can't do it, man. 8,800 chalky. Okay, so like let's flip the switch, right? Mitch Keller projected 8% ownership today. Do we play him a little bit? Like he's facing sure. Oakland. Like if he's not chalky, I'll play anybody that has an arm against this team. But he's just not right. Something's up. I don't think he's healthy. I keep saying it. I really don't think he's healthy. He hasn't looked healthy. It's a lot, at least 5 hits in every start this season. This is not the Mitch Keller we saw last year. Something's wrong with him. I don't know, like, not his pitching coach, but, I mean, I can look at the numbers and tell you there's something going on here. Maybe he's tipping his pitches if he's – I don't know. But I can tell you for certain I'm not playing Alex Wood on the other side of this game. Absolutely dominated the Yankees last time out. Good for him. Not playing him today.
Yeah, same. No interest.
Any interest in the Pittsburgh bats?
Yeah, I mean, Wood has been very hittable over the last couple of seasons. He's getting up there in age. He doesn't work deep into games. This is not a great ballpark for hitting, but I think you can certainly take some shots here on Wood. Hayes is a guy that I like to play against lefties a good amount. McCutchen, I think, still has a little bit of juice against lefties. The problem is some of my favorite bats are left-handed, like Cruz. Reynolds is much better from the left side of the plate, so weaker when facing a lefty. But Hayes, McCutchen are certainly great. Olivares is another guy I like to play against lefties.
Yeah, Alex Wood, like he's a guy that you could take some shots on from time to time because he did a great job limiting power, generating ground balls. It just hasn't happened this year. He's giving up a lot more line drives. He's not generating hardly any soft contact whatsoever. I hate the ballpark, but I think Pittsburgh is a secondary stack today. Like, if this game was in a different ballpark, I'd have a lot of interest in Pittsburgh. I hate the ballpark. McCutchen's cheap. I don't mind that. Yeah, I mean, basically everything you said. The other one that I wanted to throw out there is, like, if Michael Taylor cracks the lineup, Michael Taylor is sneaky good against lefties, and he's under 3K. So you can play him. Oakland bats against Keller.
I mean, I don't think they have the upside that I want to full stack them on a 12-game slate, but pick a mini stack, I do have a little bit of interest in. We don't think Keller's right. Oakland's really cheap. Both lefties, I think, look really good. Seth Brown, J.J. Bleday are probably my two favorites here. If Ruiz is in the lineup, who knows what they're doing with him, but he has multiple stolen base upside. Langeliers is a cheap catcher. Toro has been hitting up at the top of the lineup. So, like I said, I don't think there's enough upside for a full stack here, but I certainly don't mind a mini.
Lineup definitely gets worse, too, with Giolof going to the IL on Monday. Yeah. Like, I don't know. The lineup's bad. It's really bad. I don't know if I stack them. I mean, you mentioned Ruiz. I always like him. Langeliers has he has a ton of power at catcher. So, like, in that aspect, maybe I find, like, a third piece to potentially play. You mentioned Bleday and Brown. Those would be the guys that I'd look at here. Atlanta against Seattle. 7 total in this game. Atlanta, 126 favorite. Renardo Lopez against Luis Castillo. I mean, I've been fully aboard the Renardo Lopez train. I mean, I've been honking it, and I'm not going to stop in a high strikeout matchup here against Seattle. Max Fried might actually be back. We talked about this on the podcast yesterday. I was like on the fence on whether or not he was back or not. Max Fried might actually be back for what it's worth. You gotta close your eyes when you're going to click this $9,500 price tag on Renardo Lopez. But I mean, he's been pitching great.
It's sticker shock. It's very similar to the Turnbull price tag. Like you just look at it and it's like, how can I pay that price tag for him? then you start digging in and it's like, okay, six strikeouts against Miami, very low strikeout team. Seven strikeouts against Houston, very low strikeout team. Six against the Mets, very low strikeout team. Like, the strikeout upside is absolutely here, there. He's putting up 25 to 30 points at seemingly every start, and these have not been the easiest matchups. You get him a matchup here against Seattle, who has one of the highest strikeout rates in baseball. There's crazy upside in this spot. So I'm right there with you. The price tag is not comfortable, but I wouldn't be surprised by 9 or 10 strikeouts here from Ronaldo.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to like him. The sticker shock of this price tag, I get it, but he's been worth every penny of it. He's been pitching really good. Like, it's hard not to play him in this spot. Like, Seattle strikes out a ton. I will say, on FanDuel, I would definitely prioritize Freddy Peralta being cheaper than Renardo. But on DK, I mean, I'm going to have plenty of exposure to both of these guys. And I'll play some Renardo on FanDuel as well, because his ownership's going to be lower with Peralta being cheaper. Luis Castillo finally has looked good. He started the season rough. He's pitched a lot better here. Like, seeing him pitch well against Texas, he gave up a couple bombs, but overall he pitched better against Texas. Any interest in Castillo in this spot?
I don't love the spot for him, obviously, against Atlanta, who's one of the top offenses in baseball. But Luis Castillo, when he's right, is an elite pitcher. I just don't know if there's upside here against Atlanta. You mentioned that solid Texas start. He had 22 DraftKings points. Like, I don't know if that's enough at 8,600 on a 12-game slate. And that's kind of what I see a ceiling at in this spot here against Atlanta. Like, he probably gives up a couple of runs. I don't think he strikes out 10 in this spot. So I won't have a ton. I think he's going to be pretty low owned, though. So I don't hate a large field tournament stab, but it's not going to be something I do very often.
I think I'm out on Castillo today. Tough matchup against the Braves. I mean, he's really struggled against lefties. They have Albies back now. Harris has been hitting the ball really well. We know Olsen's ceiling is massive. Yeah, I'm out on Castillo. And I don't necessarily think I want to stack the Braves against Castillo at this price point. Like, the price is just the biggest issue here. Like, now we're looking at a guy that's a team that has like six guys over 5K. It's almost impossible to stack them at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of like the spot for the Dodgers. Like, I don't love the upside for these prices is the issue here. Like, Castillo, if he's right again, is an elite pitcher in baseball. And I'm not trying to attack that on a 12-game slate in general, even with what might be the best offense in baseball. So they're just too expensive for the spot.
Yeah, you hate the price.
Yeah.
I'm not playing any of Seattle today. Like, Julio has been so rough to start the season that he's under 5K now. I believe in Renardo Lopez at this point.
Yeah, I do too. I don't have a ton of interest in Seattle. Like you said, Rodriguez has been rough. Raleigh is probably my favorite one-off just because he fills catcher and he's got power. If you're looking for someone at 4,100, I don't have any interest in stacking.
All right, we finish it out with Cincinnati at San Diego. There was no total out for this game. Very typical and like a bullpen type of game. And you and I both think that we're going to see a bullpen type of game here from San Diego. Nick Martinez on the other side. This game's just ugly. Let's call it what it is. It's a bullpen game against Nick Martinez. I'm just going to sum it up. We're not playing either pitcher in this game, right?
No, no chance. No interest.
Yeah. All right, let's just get to the bats because that's where the fun happens.
I will say, if San Diego ends up naming an actual starting pitcher, I don't hate picking on Cincinnati just because they strike out so much. But like, we're seeing Brito listed in a couple of spots right now. He's been pitching out of the bullpen. There's no chance he's going deep in this game. So I can't do it unless there's a real starting pitcher here.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see... I don't think they have anybody ready, right? Yeah. The 5-day, the 6-day.
No, like, they'd have to call somebody up from AAA, and I have no idea what their roster situation. Like, they obviously don't want to DFA somebody if they don't have to. So,
yeah, I mean, who knows?
We'll see what they do.
I don't even know if they have like a AAA like prospect right now. I know, like, is it Snelling? Isn't that the guy that like everybody's talked about in this organization, like big lefty? But I'm pretty sure like he's still in Double A. But like he's like he has like the sick curveball, I think is what I remember about him. But anyway, I don't know if they necessarily have like a call up guy that they can like that we would actually maybe be like be interested in that would get called up here. So and I don't think that being the player pool anyway, so I don't think it'd matter, but anyway. Him like Vasquez, could they call him back up and let him be the long reliever here? He got optioned down.
Has he been down for 10 days?
I don't think so.
If you get optioned, you have to be down for unless there's an injury, they could if there's an injury, they could recall him, but otherwise they have to wait 10 days. And I think it was just a couple of days ago.
They finally gonna put Joe Musgrove on the IL. He ain't right. anyway, we'll have to see if the situation changes because Cincinnati is a good strikeout matchup, just in general, but way more interested in the bats in this game. Let's talk Cincinnati bats. If it is a bullpen game, I think this is a really interesting spot because right now, like Cincinnati's dealing with some injuries. So like maybe the pinch hit risk is even lower. Stevenson was out of the lineup. He's banged up right now. And Carchion Strand is banged up right now. He's out of the lineup. He got hurt with like a hand injury on Saturday. That lowers the pinch hit risk. And I mean, San Diego bullpen's nothing to write home about. I like the Reds again. Like their ceiling is just massive because they hit home runs and they steal bases, which is just the combo you love right now.
Yeah, love the power and speed upside from the Reds. It is a big ballpark downgrade, but who knows what the Padres are going to be throwing out of that pen. So I have interest. I think De La Cruz has as much upside as anyone on the slate. Fraley, I like that price tag a good amount. Benson's another one of those speed guys. Certainly don't mind targeting him. Martini has a little bit of pop. He's cheap at 3,500. I like the Red stack. Like I don't love stacking in bullpen games because you see a lot of matchups. But like I think you made an important point there. They have a couple of guys who are banged up that just are probably only available for one pinch hit at bat. So I think you're pretty safe on that pinch hit risk for at least seven innings here.
Yeah, if Stevenson and Carcion Strand are both out of the lineup, I think your pinch hit risk is a lot lower. San Diego, Nick Martinez is awful. San Diego is gutless. And I agree with everybody when they say like this team is like the worst team right now to stack, but Nick Martinez is atrociously bad. He doesn't walk people either. He's going to throw strikes and make you try to beat him. He's just not good. I think this is like your low owned could be a huge, massive stack on this slate type of team.
Yeah, I mean, Martinez is certainly going to pitch to contact. The problem, he's good at missing the barrel for whatever reason. I looked this up in his last start. I'm trying to find it right here on the fly. But he has like a 6% barrel rate over the last year plus, which is like not ideal. So he doesn't give up a ton of power. But there's definitely going to be balls in play here because he has like a 17% strikeout rate. And he straight pitches to contact and tries to generate ground balls. I think you want to target fly ball hitters in this spot. Guys like Tatis and Machado are certainly fine. Guys like Bogarts, I'd have a little bit more hesitation on. He has a ground ball lean. Cronenworth, a fly ball hitter. So I think you're looking for fly ball hitters in this matchup.
Don't have to sell me, man. I'm in. And I was quickly trying to pull up like San Diego and Cincinnati bullpens are both like middle of the road. Neither one of these bullpens are special. And we could see a lot of bullpen from both sides of this game. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Big slate. Again, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, there's so many ways to build on this slate. I know, like, I think my biggest stand today is going to be Spencer Turnbull. Like, the more we, like, talked about it and talked through it even more, like, I think he's going to be my big stand today. Under 8K, six or more strikeouts. Who do you got?
There's a couple I really like. I'm going to go with my guy, Cole Reagan. So sneaky good strikeout matchup. He has the reverse splits, and Toronto probably throws eight or nine righties at him. So if they drop that 5.5 strikeout prop again, even though it's a back-to-back start against the same team, I think I'll be on that over again.
I'm going to go John Gray. I think this is
That was the other guy.
Yep. Over 8K to score under 15. Who do you got?
Give me Jordan Montgomery. He's not going to rack up strikeouts, and he's got a really tough matchup.
Yeah, let's just take the free card there.
Hey, you let me first.
No, I know. I agree. Listen, you got to take it when it's there. I've played this guy a few times this year for sure. I don't necessarily love this spot for him. Give me your boy Assad against the Mets. I think that he's not going to get blown up in this spot, but I don't know if he's going to strike out enough people to get over 15 because they're going to get hits against him. Home run over 4K. Who's going yard today?
Give me William Contreras against the lefty. He has
on
an awesome start this year. He's 5,300. I think that keeps his ownership down. I love this spot for William Contreras.
Oh, I like it a lot. Listen, there's a guy that I stack against every single time, and I always try to find one. I'm going to play a lot of Julian today, so give me Julian to go yard. Cardi. Two home runs when he said he's going to get pinch hit for. I do like Rhys Hoskins a lot to hit a home run today too, for what it's worth. He was on my list, but I wanted a Minnesota bat for a home run because Sorka stinks. Under 4K to get two hits, who's the cheap bat that you like today?
He definitely does stink, and Minnesota is way underpriced. One of my favorite hitters on the slate is Trevor Larnach for the Twins. He was an elite prospect. He's been hitting the crap out of the ball this season. 3,800 against Soroka is just way too cheap.
Do you know why I took a Minnesota bat for a home run? Because I knew you were going to take my freaking value hitter. I knew it was coming. I actually wrote down two today because I knew you were going to take my guy because we've both been on him. I'm going to go to Jackson Chirino Rio from Milwaukee. I think he's going to hit leadoff today. I really do. So there you go. I think this is a good spot. Stack to score six or more runs. Hey, there's a few of those today for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I know you're on this one too, and you've been on them for the season. So I feel a little bit bad here, but I'm going Milwaukee. I love this spot for Milwaukee.
Where's EZ? Keith coming in hot. They're actually not who I had wrote down today. I'm going a little off the board with my stack today. I love playing this team when they're on the road. Give me the San Francisco Giants here. Cooper Criswell, I just don't think he has the stuff, and I worry about him being a fly ball guy against the Giants, getting a ballpark upgrade here. Give me the Giants to score six or more runs today. Any player props or pick and plays that you like on this slate?
It is not out yet anywhere that I see, but I am going to be going right back to Cole Reagans over 5.5. I think he was on his way to like 8 strikeouts that first time against Toronto, and before the rain started falling, he had 4 in the first 3 innings, and then he just had no footing on the mound, then was dealing with wet baseballs, and it was just a disaster for him to get through those last 2 innings. Don't love that it's a back-to-back against Toronto, but I think they're going to hang a 5.5 on him, and that's too low.
So there's not a lot of props up just in general yet. I am definitely going to be looking at Spencer Turnbull's prop here. I don't think it happens, but I hope he comes in at like 6.5. I would love to see it at 5.5, but I think if we get it at like close to even money at 6.5, I just believe in the stuff. The stats really like him. I really hope it comes in at 5.5. I think that'd be a phenomenal line. So he's someone I like. And one of the like staples for me this year is like we continue to get like Mitch Keller's props like way too high.
6.5.
He's facing Oakland today. The lineup's awful. You got to pay the juice on the under, and like I hate that.
I think I'm gonna wait and see if it moves, if the juice moves on it a little bit, because I was eyeing that one up too.
I love his out prop too. That's another one that I've been doing a lot this year.
Minus 120 on the under right now. If that goes to like even money, I think I'd be on Keller under 6.5. It's never comfortable taking an under against Oakland, but I think he's overvalued right now.
The other one that I had written down to look at here is Woods Richardson, and I just pulled it up. His out total is 16.5. I like the under of 16.5 on him. He's nothing special. I don't know if I necessarily want to play him a lot, and I think that prop is a little high. So give me the under 16.5. Is there any lines that you like? I didn't see a ton.
Somebody mentioned the Milwaukee run line, which I wanted to see what that was at, because I support that for sure. I mean, Milwaukee has the better pitcher, obviously, and I love this spot for their offense. So I would be interested in a run line there. Nothing else really standing out from a total perspective or anything like that.
I like the Giants over 4.5 runs at plus money. You can get it. DraftKings has it at plus money. FanDuel, the best line right now is DraftKings at plus 105. BetMGM has plus 105, but give me the Giants over 4.5 runs in this one. I talked about it a lot. I like them today. Probably use them as like 4-man stacks instead of 5-man stacks. But the more like I think about them and like how they're just not going to have a ton of ownership today, I really do think I might actually like full stack them a little bit in like a 20 entry max build. So give me the Giants over 4.5 runs at plus money. That's going to wrap it up here for Tuesday. We're back on Wednesday talking baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll have a great day.